All right, Chit Shows, if you were someone who constantly finds yourself giving, giving, and then giving more to the point where you are completely burnt out, listen up. I am teaming up with the Boundaries Queen herself, Barb Nangle, to host a transformative workshop called Stop Overgiving, Repair Your Life from the Inside Out. It's happening on Wednesday, November 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and this workshop is for anyone who is trapped in people-pleasing patterns, exhausted from sacrificing your needs on behalf of others, for anyone whose inability to set boundaries is causing you to neglect yourself, saying yes when you really want to say no because you think saying no makes you a bad person. In this workshop, Barb is going to teach you how to set clear, authentic boundaries, giving you real tools you can start using immediately. She will provide you with tips and scripts on what to say and how to say it, as well as what to do when people push back against your boundaries. Plus, there will be plenty of time for you to get answers on your personal questions directly from a boundaries expert. So if you are ready to break out of this people-pleasing prison you're trapped in, start living for yourself, well, how about you head to adultchildpodcast.com/workshops to get your damn spot. I'm also running a special right now. If you join the Shit Show community between now and November 1st, you will get access to this workshop for free. So with limited capacity, make sure you get your ticket now before it's gone. So either go to adultchildpodcast.com/workshops or go to the show notes and DM the Join Shit Show. Trust me, this is a workshop you don't want to miss.
Shit show. It's a fucking shit show.
Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. Saturday, folks. How's it going? So you're going to get to hear our group from this past Thursday. But real quick, I wanted to hit you with 8 reasons why you should really be damning the join, okay? 8 reasons why you'd be a damn fool for not hopping on this damn ship. Number 1, validation. So being a part of a group with others who have experienced similar things as you provides a shitload of validation and breaks through some of that shame and knowing that you're not the only one that has endured these things. 2, emotional support. So a large part of this healing process is bringing up and feeling all of those suppressed emotions that we have stuffed our entire life. And this is a community that is a safe space for you to do so and to have support while you're doing it. 3, breaking isolation. So in the Big Red Book, it talks about how we cannot heal in isolation. Okay, it says this in the Big Red Book. That's all I'm going to say there. 4, learning from others. So we gain a ton of insights into ourselves by hearing the experiences of others, right? These are insights that you wouldn't necessarily gain by sitting in your therapist's office. 5, encouragement and hope. By seeing other people's progress, recovery, and healing, that can give us so much damn hope and encouragement that the same is possible for us. 6, building healthy relationships. So as I always say, this is relational trauma. We heal relational trauma in safe relationships. This is a place where you can do so and where you can practice and develop healthier ways of getting along with other people. 7, you don't want this recovery process to be all doom and gloom. This isn't painful shit, but you would also like to maybe have a little fun sometimes and have a little laugh sometimes. And last but not least, 8, it is less than a dollar a day. It is less than a damn dollar a day, folks. Is your recovery worth a dollar a day to you? I would say so. You can quit after a month. If you don't like it, you got no excuses. I'm sorry. And that's that, folks. I think that's quite compelling. I think that's quite convincing. If that doesn't get you, I really don't know what to say. We need to be just damning the join right now, okay? So take those little fingers of yours, and how about you go to the show notes for this episode, and you're going to click the damn the join hyperlink. And don't forget to give me a little follow on the Insta, on the TikTok, and give me a damn 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Thank you, love you all.
They say that I should damn the join shit show. They say that that's where people go to heal. They say that I'll feel seen and heard like I have never felt before. So I'm going to damn the joint right now.
Okay, internalization. Internalizing is the eye in the middle of the swirl process, the eye of the hurricane wreaking destruction on the self. Internalizing is the most critical stage of abandonment when your body and soul incorporate the deep personal wound of losing someone's love. Without recovery, this wound can leave permanent scarring. It burrows beneath the surface where it continues to generate insecurity and undermines your self-esteem for decades to come. Internalizing is what distinguishes abandonment grief from all others. You grieve not a loss of someone's life, but a loss of his love, and in the process, doubt your own worth. Peter Yelton, a friend and personal guru, says that abandonment is a profound enough trauma to implant an invisible drain deep within the self that works insidiously to siphon off self-esteem from within. The paradox for abandonment survivors is that no matter what they do to build their self-esteem, the invisible wound of abandonment is always working to drain it away. Although its appearance in my mirror caught me off guard, as a therapist, I understood what my sudden bout of self-loathing was all about. Abandonment is a cumulative wound containing all the disconnections, disappointments, and heartbreaks of a lifetime. My current heartbreak had reopened that wound and bombarded me with emotional memories of a painful past. The ugly duckling phase I'd gone through as a child had come back to haunt me full force. Between the ages of 8 and 11, I'd been obese. Not only was I gigantic, my teeth managed to grow in crooked. To make matters worse, I suffered from 165 hair days per year. Oh, he's so funny. I was always getting home perms to improve the situation, but these experiments created bald spots on the side of my head and frizzy puffs on the other. The only thing that changed was which side they were on. Now as an adult, I avoid perms and I zealously diet and exercise to keep myself trim. The thought through, though more slender than usual, appropriately coiffed at the time of my abandonment, that glimpse into the mirror revealed what I was feeling about myself on the inside. In a split second of awareness, I witnessed my damaged self-image rise up from the ruins. It was a heartbreak's ghost staring me down. The negative self-image is an apparition of abandonment grief. Nice, light and fluffy for the topic. Oh, that quote will never not hit me hard. The abandonment is a profound enough wound to siphon off self-esteem from within. And that's what I talk about how I didn't understand how, and I'm sure a lot of y'all can relate, how you can feel good about yourself. You can feel like you have self-esteem. And then as soon as you get into a relationship and that tiny bit of abandonment wound gets triggered, and all of a sudden your fucking life force becomes this other person. It might be somebody that you don't even really know, like hardly at all. And the self-abandonment that then transpires from that is so devastating and so heartbreaking. And this abandonment wound is like the worst. Like, there is nothing worse than going into an emotional flashback, like as it relates to, at least for me personally, or as it relates to abandonment wounds. And it is, I've just been thinking a lot lately about how just the nervous system doesn't care that we think we're overreacting or that we're being silly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. And just the way that the mind works, the brain, the body, the way that this stuff is just stored in our body, that just like somebody not sending us like a text message back, or just the tone of someone's voice, or just something so easy can just like set us into this, just this spiral. Actually, Nancy, when you sent that message and suggested this, it brought something up for me. And it brought up, you know, I have not, so I guess, when was it? August was like when I went to Tahoe and got into it with my dad. And, you know, that's when he told me that he was like never talking to me again. And I handled it very differently, for those of you who like weren't around then. But I ended up sending him a mess, like a video message that 2 days later. And I was just like, listen, I'm sending this to you because I want you to be able to hear the tone of my voice, see my face. Like, this is what you do every time, but we don't have to make this a big deal. It's almost like, if you just want to like say, hey, I overreacted, I'm sorry, you know, we can move on. And I haven't spoken to him since. And what really made me sad was like, what just hit me before is like my fucking cat died. And I know that he's sick, but life is short. And I know that he knows that he's in the wrong.
and that he just wants to stay in his anger and his resentment and be right. That, like, he can't even call his only daughter when she experiences, like, the toughest loss of her life. And it's like, God damn, of course I've fucking just picked men that made me an option, you know? Like, of course I did this. It was so funny. We were talking about blaming our parents the other day in the group, but just about how, like, it's normal, like, when we have certain realizations, anger is going to come up, and it's normal, and it's healthy for it to come up, and we need to express it. But it was just the thought, too, of, like, wow, this jackass was just, like, leaving me at home with my mom, who he knew was drunk, to just, like, fend for myself, not even a care in the world. And so, yeah, having some anger related to my dad, it's really hurtful. It's really hurtful. And I know that it has nothing to do with me and about me being lovable and not good enough. And I have to remind my inner child of that because, you know, sometimes she can go there. Why couldn't dad even pick up the phone and call us? Like, are we really not even that important? So, yeah, I think it's really hard to show yourself self-compassion, especially when you are a result of when you experienced emotional abandonment and you were taught that your feelings didn't matter, you know, that your feelings were wrong. And it's definitely been one of the slower things, I think, is learning how to cultivate compassion for myself in the areas or in the ways in which I feel like I'm not, like, moving along fast enough. And this past week, something shifted in me last weekend, and I've been able to, like, just show myself a lot of grace and compassion for if I'm not getting certain things done, and also just like really making an effort at the end of the day or even after I finish certain tasks to, like, really show my, to be proud of myself, to, like, show myself compassion and really, really acknowledge it. While also, like, letting the other parts of me know that, like, that's wants to beat the shit out of me that I didn't get X, Y, and Z done. That it's okay. And also just really reminding myself that, like, what matters most is having a safe nervous system. And last week, it was all of me being dysregulated and feeling unsafe and then trying to push through and get shit done. And all it did was make it worse. And so I've really been this week just really trying to really practice and cultivate safeness in my body. And I've had a much more productive week. I was shocked at what I got done today by 4 o'clock. So that was good. So yeah, I'm sure nobody has anything to say about abandonment wounds or self-compassion. So we'll just all sit here and twiddle our thumbs. Can't see.
Okay. Since I brought it up, I have been teaching myself because, you know, it's really hard to learn the shit that you were never taught when you were a kid, right? I've been teaching myself to advocate for myself. And it's been going pretty good. A couple weeks ago, I contacted my boss's boss. I had a meeting with him back the end of the summer regarding lots of shit that went down at my work. Long story short, somebody sent an email with my name in it to the entire company, like the entire company. And it wasn't like, hey, Nancy's great either. So anyway, at least I can laugh about that shit now because I cried for so long. Anyway, so I had this meeting with this gentleman and he's my boss's boss. And we talked about a bunch of stuff. And he said to me, we'll catch up again when I come back in October. So I sent him an email middle of October. And he said, yep, I'll be there the 29th, 30th, 31st. We'll catch up then. No problem. And my coworker was to meet with him also. Well, he met with my coworker, who is a 35-year-old male. And I'm going to say it. I'm a 58-year-old female. Yes, my coworker's been at my job for like 10 years. I've only been there 3. I understand. We do hold the same position. But dude met with Layton. Oh, that's my coworker's name. And not me. And I messaged him and, you know, today, and I said, do you have time to meet with me today? Oh, I'm on a plane right after this meeting. What pissed me off so much is he went and made time to be with my coworker and not with me. And it's about, like, a lot of the same issue. His response to me was, okay, that of, I am going to be leaving. I can get with you on Teams and we'll invite this woman from HR. And I'm like, on the phone, bitch, because that's me from Jersey. No, Tim did not need to have somebody from HR in his special meeting. Why does Nancy? So there went the shit storm. The abandonment won't open up. I am so mean to myself. And I was like, what the? And why am I being so? I did not do this. This guy told me what he would do. I don't even hardly know him. We did have a very good conversation in the summer. I was just looking for his guidance going forward in my job with my boss and taking on yet another new position and talking to him about money. And I don't want this lady from HR in on my meeting. I don't want to have a meeting. I want to see you face to face, because for me, even talking on Zoom is hard. Like, it's much better for me to express myself face to face. But the shit spiral I put myself through, I mean, I was like, no, you're just a worthless old hag bag and nobody gives a shit about you. And fuck this guy and he can go eat shit and I won't talk to any of you was the first shit I put myself through, because that's what I do. And then I decided, okay, you need to journal this. So I did. Then I went for a walk and I kept telling myself, I do IFS therapy. I kept telling my parts, you know what? This is your abandonment part. You need to settle down, abandonment part. Self-compassion, please come into play. You are a good worker. You are a good person. People like you at your job. You're not what that email says. You've been proving that, you know, for the last 5 months that you actually do get along with your coworkers and they actually do like you and they come to you and ask you things and the abandonment wound, you know, and it's still obviously, because when Andrea put that she was looking for a subject, I definitely was like, let's talk about the abandonment wounds and self-compassion. And I think from listening to a podcast, she's talking about people who have deep abandonment wounds of really low self-esteem, which we all know. And we also are not compassionate with ourselves because nobody was there for us when we were abandoned to tell us, hey, it's okay. Your mom just ran to the grocery store. She'll be right back. Or, hey, it's okay. Your mom has to help your brother. You're cool. Why don't you do this? You know? So it goes back. It just goes back to, and it also goes back to the womb. Like, when I was born, my mom, I'm the youngest of eight. My mom had 5 days in the hospital. And you know what she didn't do? She did not bond with me. My older siblings tell me, yeah, she was like on vacation, getting her nails done and shit. So like, I know the things. But I think that's it for me. Thank you for listening and thank you for picking the subject.
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway. Night sweats. Poor sleep. Feeling tired all the time. Bloating. Gas. Man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my young younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
Do you shit shows ever feel like you're just too damn busy to eat healthy? So I used to feel this way. Every day I would wake up with the intention of eating clean, and before you know it, it's 10:30 p.m., I'm in my bed, and I'm eating smart food popcorn. That is, until I found the perfect solution. Meal kits from Sunbasket. No matter what your lifestyle is, Sunbasket caters to your kind of healthy. Every single recipe is shit show proof, so pre-measured, pre-proportioned, easy to prepare. I most recently made the seared Alaskan halibut with mashed potatoes and herb brown butter parmesan sauce, and it was damn good. And for you shit shows out there who only know how to work a microwave, Sunbasket also has pre-made meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes. No prep, no mess. So go to sunbasket.com/adultchild today to save $120 off your first four deliveries. That is sunbasket.com/adultchild to save $120 across your first four deliveries plus free shipping on your very first order.
Lots of feels. Wasn't expecting all this to come up right now. I worked through some abandonment stuff this weekend, and I hear from God a lot. That's just part of like who I am. And for God, I don't know how many years, it's like every time I go next to like a cemetery, like I feel the presence of God. And I've been really confused by that and not knowing what that's about. And this weekend, I was listening to Bon Iver's new album. If y'all don't know who he is, you should check it out. And the new album is choice. It's very good. But the last song on the album was just about how, even saying the lyric is like, why do things got to change? And I think in high school and college, there was so much of me that just wanted things to stay the same and wanted things to stay safe. And it was just like everywhere I looked, I would lose people or someone would die. And I saw God like just sitting in the cemetery this weekend, like as I was doing some work. And he just was like trying to dance with me. And he was like, I know, bud, like I know you've lost so much, and really validating my pain. But he was like, let's look at this a little differently. Let's make this beautiful. And like, let's be like, I want you to see all the beauty of what we've made together and what's stayed. And it was like him inviting me into looking at it differently somehow unlocked the grief that was still there. And so just a deep sadness around not, like, I realized like how much responsibility I took on myself to try and keep my family together. If I could just be the right boy and do everything right, then they could be okay. That's just a heavy load. That's not fucking mine, but it's what I held on to. And it's like, this is like subconscious shit that I was not aware of that I was doing. And so I also just realized like I haven't been enjoying my life because I've been carrying this weight around. And it's not just with my family, but it's like with my clients and with my friends, and like just been carrying the weight of the world and weight of everyone else's shit. And there's just like no room for me. And so like, I feel like I'm finally starting to try and like take up space and not be okay in my relationships, and like having a voice in my relationships and with my family, and not preferring myself above my family and above others in like a compensatory way. And even if I do that, like it's not going to be even because I've put myself so low on the totem pole as far as needs goes. And so, yeah, good movement. I don't really have a beautiful way of closing like this, but that's been, I guess, a lot of what I've been moving through this past week.
Hey, Cam, I want to start off by saying we're talking about this group and community, and like no one told each and every one of you today, this room is filled with the most loving, the kindest, the most compassionate, the most understanding, the most down-to-earth fucking people that I've been around in a long time.
You forgot cool?
And cool. And total shit shows. And I fucking love it. And I'm so glad that I've got this space to come. Because like I cried a lot last week. And I wasn't expecting to cry tonight. God damn, Josh, your shit was on point. And like, it's so true. Why does shit gotta change? It was a really beautiful thought about, I do the same thing with my higher power. It always gets me of him just calling me bud. Like, I don't know why that is such a deeply sincere fatherly thing that I didn't get a lot from my dad. And so it really hits home of that spiritual and like loving parent that we get to be for ourselves, and how on my own, I don't have that at all. I don't get it. I didn't get it growing up. And I get to do that for myself today. And I can see that these changes and stuff might be scary, but like you said, a different perspective of what if we looked at it? It's beautiful. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's exciting. And change for me always growing up was just always nerve-wracking. It just brought change meant scary, meant losing what I have. That deep abandonment wound happened over and over again. I moved like 10 times growing up. Like every year was a different school, a different friend group. So I learned just to be that perfect kid, that Mr. Chameleon, that Mr. Likeable, Mr. Social, because I needed to do it, because I needed to be liked. And if I was liked, maybe you could love me. And if you loved me, I might have some value. And if I'm valuable, this life might be worth living. But without it, it was nothing. I had no ability, that self-esteem, like it said. And I got some really unexpected shitty news last week about my job. I still have a job, but my living situation is with my roommate. Turns out, because he's a manager, we can't live together. We've lived together for like 2 years. And I've really kind of looked at it and talked with my therapist about like, is this like codependency coming up? Is this abandonment? Is this what I'm feeling about it? And the answer is no. I just like having a good room. It's hard to find good roommates. And I love him. And he's a dick sometimes, but I'm so glad to have that person that I just get along with, that we vibe, to come home to at night. And some nights we say two words and that's it. Other, we don't say hi the whole weekend, but sometimes we talk late into the night and share pizza and have a great relationship. And we're heterosexual life partners who share a dog, and I have my Eddie to sleep with. And we talked about some of our options for what might work. They're all kind of shitty. Got to pick one of them. We can split from a two bedroom and two single beds. And a plan is kind of to split custody of the dog, and I'll have him on nights and he'll get weekends. And it's really cute, and it kind of sucks, but like, we're going to make it work. Somehow this is going to work. I'm looking at other jobs with my same company that might work. It's all just kind of up in the air, and I'm trying to figure out what is the actionable thing for me to do. Like, how do I today do something? Cause I have no idea. I do not have an answer. And I called a buddy of mine today that I know from SLAA, and we've been friends a long time, and how many conversations we have just bawling our eyes out, being like, this change is too much. I can't do it. I'm struggling with needing always to have a boyfriend, always find a new sex partner, always to find something else outside of ourselves to make it okay, because we're not okay, to find that validation. And we got to say today how proud we were of ourselves, of how far we've come, that today, like, this shitty situation came up, and no part of me wants to drink about this. No part of me wants to fuck about this or go boyfriend hunting or go on Grindr and just endlessly search to numb the pain. I'm not doing that. I'm facing it head on. I'm not perfect. I'm feeling pretty shitty, but my therapist and my sponsor are like, you seem to be pretty stable with this. And I'm like, I don't feel fucking stable, but I'm trying. I'm fumbling through this and just taking it a day at a time, which is just what recovery is. It's just one day at a time, because I don't have the answers. I wish so badly that Michael, my higher power, would tell me, like, if you do this, then this is going to happen, and that'll get you to here, and then that'll take you here, and you're going to end up in an amazing spot. Like, we don't get that. The difference being, I don't feel stuck right now. I am kind of lost, but I know I've got the tools. I know that I can do this. I don't know how exactly, but I know I'm not that same kid I was a few years ago that was struggling so hard every day just to get by. My problems today are still problems, and they still hurt, and they still suck. and I can feel it, and I can be bad, and I can cry, and I can vent, and I can do all the things that I need to do to get through the cycle and not stay stuck in it, to keep hurting myself. You know, last week, my biggest problem was calling my mom that I'd been avoiding for a while. And I did it, and it went as well as it could. And that helps to show me that, like, we practice this, that when we do some healing with that core wound, we don't have to keep doing the same shit over and over again. Like, I refuse to keep doing that. And it's hard because my body, my mind tells me to do the same shit over and over again. And I get to be the adult. I get to be that loving parent that says, like, oh, but I totally get that. But you know what? Let's try this instead. And I know you're kind of scared, but I promise we can do it together. And you're not alone. You've got a lot of friends. And why don't you reach out? Why don't you give them a call? Because maybe they need you too. I talked to a newcomer last week for like an hour and a half. And that's recovery. So great to do that when you need to just like talk to a newcomer, someone that's going through the shit real hardcore, and to remind yourself of how far you've come. Because never before have I been able to say I'm proud of myself. I can say I'm really proud of myself today. And I'm proud of everyone in here for letting me be this version of myself, letting me like myself. Because I didn't think that was possible. I didn't think it was okay. And it is. It's not just okay. It's beautiful. It's amazing. And it's wonderful. So if you're going through the shit, I'm right there with you. But I know we can do this. And I don't know how, but I know we do it together. And God damn, this shit is hard, but I know it's worth it. And you all remind me of that. So thank you. I'm getting it off my pedestal now, but I love you all a whole lot. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for reminding me that my sensitivity is, it's the best part of me. Like, that's what I hear, right? So thank you for that. So, oh God. So I'm kind of emotional because I've got to face my sisters tomorrow, and that's going to be very difficult. I'm trying to surrender, but tonight, right, the subject of abandonment, I guess what I want to share is there are two memories that I talk about that come up in my EMDR sessions over and over again. And I never really saw them as abandonment issues, but I suspect maybe they are. But one of them is, I always want to share a story, right? But I don't like to be elaborate. As a kid, my dad had 8 sisters, and they all had beach houses in this beach community in Rhode Island. And every summer I would go down there and be with my father's sisters or my aunts. But this is the paternal side of my family. But my parents were divorced by the time I was 4, which is kind of weird that my mother stayed so close to 8 of my father's sisters. I don't know if that was a good or bad thing, but here I am down there and with all of my aunts. These are my dad's sisters. And one night, we're all there playing. I'm about 10 years old. I'm with my cousins. And we hear a motorcycle. Well, I hear a motorcycle anyway. And the first thing I think is, oh, fuck, that's my dad. And sure enough, it was. But this is the thing that's messed up, right? I've already been abandoned, right? Whatever's going on in my body is happening. But this is what went on in my head. And this is what I did. Oh my God, I can't let him see me, because if he sees me, he will feel so bad that he is not with his 4 children tonight. And instead, he's on his motorcycle coming to see his sisters, and he's going to give rides to his nieces and nephews. And that's what I'm thinking about, my dad's feelings. And I left. I'm 10. I don't know where I went. I don't know how long I stayed away. All I know is, my concern was, I don't want him to see me. And how messed up is that? I don't want to be melodramatic about it, but to me, that is so, that's what happens, right? That's what happens inside of us, that we, sorry about my dog. This is kind of funny because she just wants to play with his squeaky toy. Is it distracting to you all? Good, it's not to me. So I guess that concern for him, not thinking about myself, is one of the consequences that comes out of this abandonment experience, I guess. And it manifests in so many different ways. And when that happens, that's the way it manifests, I guess. But I don't want to lament that, right? I want to move forward. I want to move forward and heal from it. But like I've said, you know, I have this melancholy and I just entertain it. And it's so hard to pull out of it. it's like it's a lot of effort to pull away and no effort whatsoever. Like, how did I get back to that place? Like, you know, that learned helplessness kind of thinking, how did I get back here? There's no effort to get back there, but there's so much effort to climb back out. And it just seems like it's like I'm waiting for it to like, for more time to like spread out in between those moments where I find myself back in that shit place where all I'm thinking about is the negative part of it, right? And then I do this thing where I'm like, you know, you little pussy, you know, you need to grow the fuck up, right? You're feeling bad for yourself and that's bad and that's wrong and you shouldn't do that. And then, oh, wait, no, that's my mother and my sisters. Oh my God, I'm fucking crazy. Oh, I'm not crazy. I'm just an adult child. That's all I have to say. I don't know what else to say, but thank you for letting me say it.
I really like that you use some of the Susan Anderson's material, and I just because, so my history with Susan Anderson is like maybe 12, even maybe more years ago, I found her information and I ended up buying her workbook. And it was at a point in my life where I was in a really bad place. And one of the amazing things I got out of her work is how I'm an abandoner, because that's what she came to realize is that she was an abandoner. It's just when I'm under extreme pressure and I can't fucking take another thing, I just cut it off because I can't take anymore. And it always throws me back to Susan Anderson's work, which is you've been abandoned. How are you abandoning other people because you can't fucking take it anymore? And then I'd like to say in closing that I would not be the person I am today without this group. I have such peace in my life, specifically for my IFS practice, that I got the practitioner from this group. And I was talking to him this week and I said, you know, it's like all my parts are higher powers. They're like, when I like tap into that, they're like, they give me all these ideas and all these things that I can do for myself that I did not have on my own before I got here. So if you're new, hang around, because the Thursday night group, which I hardly ever get to, is the absolute best group. That's the absolute best spiritual group that we have all week. And I go to all of them. But this is like, this group separates the men from the boys. This is a really good group. But I just, you know, the whole thing about all the resources and the people and the information that you might not get other places, it's amazing what we get in this community. And in real time, like I had a problem last week and, you know, you could put it in the chat and people can give you it, like not necessarily advice, but like options. So
sell it, baby, sell it.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, I just can't say enough for being really, I'm 63 years old. I've done a lot of shit. And I've been in this group maybe, I don't know, maybe a year. It's going to come up on a year or whatever. But it has made the biggest significant change in my life from everything I've ever done in like 30 years of recovery. So thanks.
Well, wait, this group is utterly incredible. It's such a spiritual experience for me. It was a time when I used to tell these horror stories because I was learning about how much of the ACEs I had. But thank you. This is just a blessed day, everyone. I'm so happy you're in my life.
All right, Chit Shows, if you were someone who constantly finds yourself giving, giving, and then giving more to the point where you are completely burnt out, Listen up. I am teaming up with the Boundaries Queen herself, Barb Nangle, to host a transformative workshop called Stop Overgiving, Repair Your Life from the Inside Out. It's happening on Wednesday, November 13th at 7 p.m. Eastern, and this workshop is for anyone who is trapped in people-pleasing patterns, exhausted from sacrificing your needs on behalf of others, for anyone whose inability to set boundaries is causing you to neglect yourself, saying yes when you really want to say no because you think saying no makes you a bad person. In this workshop, Barb is going to teach you how to set clear, authentic boundaries, giving you real tools you can start using immediately. She will provide you with tips and scripts on what to say and how to say it, as well as what to do when people push back against your boundaries. Plus, there will be plenty of time for you to get answers on your personal questions directly from a boundaries expert. So if you are ready to break out of this people-pleasing prison you're trapped in, start living for yourself, well, how about you head to adultchildpodcast.com/workshops to get your damn spot. I'm also running a special right now. If you join the Shit Show community between now and November 1st, you will get access to this workshop for free. So with limited capacity, make sure you get your ticket now before it's gone. So either go to adultchildpodcast.com/workshops or go to the show notes and damn the Join Shit Show. Trust me, this is a workshop you don't want to miss.